You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome in to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by Mercedes-AMG Driving Performance. And yes, Dan and the Danettes are off. Rob Parker here. TJ Houshmandzadeh, the former All-Pro wide receiver there. And man, we got a great show for you today. Christmas knocking on the door. Christmas Eve, always a great day. TJ, what's happening, buddy?
Man, Rob Parker, how you doing? Up early in the morning out here in Southern California, man. Look forward to having a great show.
Man, so much to talk about. And everybody knows TJ Houshmandzadeh for two reasons. That last name, because nobody has that name other than you. Am I right?
I would believe you're correct with that.
I'm serious. I've never heard that name for anybody else. And that ponytail that everybody saw and that you still have to this day.
Yeah, my head is too big to be cutting my hair, Rob. So this hair ain't this hair isn't going anywhere. That's one thing that I do have. I got this big old nugget of a head. So, yeah, my hair, unless Mother Nature takes it, it's not going anywhere. And I'm in my 40s, so I hope it continues to stay with me.
There you go. And for people who don't know, Rob Parker from The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard, weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern right here on Fox Sports Radio. And TJ Houshmandzadeh has a radio show called Up On Game with TJ, LeVar Arrington, and Plaxico Burress. And that's on Saturdays, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on Fox Sports Radio. TJ, let's get to the news of the day, which started last night when the NBA fined James Harden $50,000. And ruled him unavailable for Wednesday's game against OKC due to violation of the league's COVID-19 protocols. After the league reviewed a video of him socializing maskless at a club earlier in the week, he said it wasn't a strip club, it was just a club and strippers just happened to come by or whatever, and he was supporting a friend. But he will not be suspended by the league. And TJ, as a player, I know players always stick together. James Harden is a baller. We know that. He's a talent. But TJ, if you're a teammate with the Rockets and you see the video, we know what's going on in the country. What's, you know, COVID is surging and people are sick and contracting it. How do you feel today?
I mean, it's just one of these things where these guys got to understand that you're putting – I'm not sure if James Harden has children, and I don't believe he does. But what happens is when you're on a team, you have to be selfless because you can affect so many people and their family. Like, there's a lot of players on professional teams, specifically the Rockets, that they have children or some have – they have family members that have been affected by the coronavirus. And so you just want to be aware so that you're not putting your teammates and their families at risk. And this season for the NBA is going to be very, very challenging because this isn't the bubble. This isn't a confined area for 3 months. These dudes are at home, and it's hard to tell grown men who are single.
Who have a pocket full of money, right?
Harden makes over $500,000 a game. A game. And so you're single, even the ones that are married or have girlfriends, it's hard to tell them to go from the bus or from the plane to the bus to the stadium home. These dudes want to have fun. It's easier to do, obviously, when you're in a bubble like they were this past fall for the playoffs. But to do it an entire season, it's virtually impossible. You just want guys to make great decisions. They're not going to make great decisions all the time. And he just got caught. There's other guys that are doing it. He just got caught. But these guys, they need to be selfless because you have too many players on a team that have families that they don't want to take this back to. And that's the biggest thing.
Our telephone number, 877-996-6369. 877-99 on Fox. We will get you involved. We hope to hear from you. But this happened before in baseball, TJ, because the Cleveland Indians had a very similar situation where Zach Plesac and Mike Clevinger, right, went out on the town. They snuck away from the team during the whole COVID thing. And you remember, there was no bubble for baseball, right? The players had to be on their P's and Q's. And with the Indians, they had a couple of players who had, you know, cancer or had some other medical issues where their immune systems were weakened. And these two guys went out on their own for a night on the town in Chicago, and the players were not happy, and they pushed back. And if you remember this, Plesac wound up coming back, but Clevinger, they were so mad at him.
Sent his butt to the Padres.
That's right. They traded him to the Padres, and you know this, TJ, give away good pitching. And Clevinger's a good pitcher, right? But they were so mad at what went down that they moved on. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, get rid of James Harden. But who will want him? Nobody will want him. He's selfish. He's this. He's that. Let me tell you something. James Harden will survive this and will wind up going somewhere, and somebody will want him, TJ, because the one thing, when you're that kind of talent, and you can change a franchise, right, and make them relevant, legit, because he can score the basketball, there'll be somebody who will take the chance and will make an excuse. We saw it in the NFL. Guys beating up women, beating children, drugs, alcohol, vehicular homicide. And you know what, TJ? They got a second chances. I'm telling you, James Harden will not be stained by this.
When you can put the ball in the basket like James Harden can, you're always going to have somewhere. There's, I would venture to say, every team in a league would tank James Harden. Now, would they give up what they have to give up? That's the question. And, yes, James Harden is a selfish player. And plenty. The majority of players are selfish to a certain degree, but this just is a different dynamic that we're dealing with, and he needs to be aware of it, which I'm sure he is. It's just James Harden and the Houston Rockets, he's taking them to the playoffs every year he's been there. He's that type of player. But the problem is they haven't gotten over the hump. But there's not a team in the NBA that will turn their back and say, oh, no, we don't want James Harden. James Harden can play. And if James Harden can play, and it's not even James, if anybody can play, we'll kind of turn a blind eye to what you're doing, because you're going to put butts in the seats, you're going to make us relevant, and you're going to give us 30 a night. And when you can do that, they'll put up with it.
No doubt about it. I think people who think that, like, this is some death sentence and nobody will touch him. And granted, it is bad, because it's just not what you're looking for during this time. It tells you a lot about him and how he's not thinking, and you just don't know, like you said, TJ, especially in a locker room, right? An NBA locker room, you know how small it is and how close quarters you are with other guys? And then they might have kids who have issues, grandparents, parents, am I right? And you could affect their lives if you don't do right by them.
It's, again, and this is why you have to be, like I said earlier, you have to be selfless, because there's so many people that you can affect without affecting, meaning you can give it to a teammate, and the teammate might be asymptomatic, but then he goes around family members because this is the holiday season, and he ends up giving it to a grandparent that they can't fight it the way he can fight it. And so that's the unfortunate part about it, is this coronavirus might not affect a teammate, but it can affect a teammate's family. And so that's why you just have to be smart. You have to be aware. And it's going to be tough. When you're not in the bubble, Rob, and you're single again, you're not going to just go home. You want to have fun. And you have a pocket full of money. And everybody is kind of at your beck and call. And so... This is going to be very, very challenging season for the NBA, because we're just talking James Harden. what about the other players? What about the young guys that are just coming out of college that have all this money now and they want to have fun with all this money and go out? And so it's going to be a challenging season for the NBA, and just hopefully these dudes make the right decisions.
And real quick, if you're Brooklyn, because Brooklyn was on James Harden's list, you saw the way they started against the Warriors, right, and how Kyrie and KD look. Would you even entertain that, like bringing James Harden to Brooklyn?
If I'm any team in the NBA, I'm entertaining it. Just what do I have to give up if it makes sense? James Harden is one of the top five players in the NBA. And so, what, do I entertain it? Yes. Do I see it working? That would be interesting, because Kyrie Irving, he's a guy that dribble, go get his shot off. James Harden is a guy that dribble, go gets his shot off. Durant, not as much. That would be interesting to see how him and Kyrie would fit together, but I'm sure great players always figure out a way to make it work.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
LeVar is a man of many talents, isn't it? He can do it all. So let's bring my guy, the king of the mammals. That's his Instagram, y'all. King of the mammals, LeVar Arrington. What's going on this morning, my man?
Good morning, guys.
What's happening? Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show on a Christmas Eve. We appreciate you joining us. And
happy Christmas Eve to you guys and everybody out there. Happy to be on the show.
No doubt. And of course, you guys have a new show called Up On Game. You, TJ, and Plaxico Burress, Saturdays, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox Sports Radio. This is an all former athlete kind of show. You know, none of us sports writers, broadcasters anchoring the show. You guys are all doing it. Tell us about the show and why we should tune in.
Yeah, I mean, I just was listening to you guys and just how things are going down right now with James Harden. And, you know, the reason why you should tune into a show like ours is because it's just breathing a different type of fresh air into sports radio talk. We're speaking from a more solution-based perspective, instead of kind of piling on guys for, you know, their insufficiencies.
I like to pile on.
Yeah. It sometimes is justified, you know, but I think it's important as former athletes to represent a voice that gives reason and gives solutions, Rob, you know, because there are a lot of guys listening, a lot of athletes and families listening to us as the media and as former players. You know, I thought it was important for us to have a voice that gives solutions and really gives, you know, perspective on what these athletes are doing at the highest level.
Hey, let's talk about your former team, the Washington football team, and Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback, who was fined $40,000, like James Harden. He was caught, you know, on video pictures at a strip club, no mask. He also had his Captain C stripped from him. What do you make of Dwayne Haskins? And here's a team that's in the hunt to win the division, and your quarterback, who you need, is out doing what he's doing. Did Washington handle this the right way?
You know, it's interesting looking at how people are handling the COVID pandemic. I thought it was irresponsible on Dwayne's part. I'm sure he's aware of the fact that he's handled it incorrectly. I've seen apologies come out issued from him, and he just has to be better. It's not okay in not understanding the level of importance he has to place on doing the right things, you know, not just for the simple fact that that's what's required for him as a pro athlete, being a professional at what it is that you're doing. But, you know, just understanding the magnitude of if he's the carrier of the virus, you know, into the park and into Washington Football Park facility. It's a lapse in judgment, and you'd like to believe that it was a young-minded lack of maturity decision on his part, that sometimes the best learning is done in, you know, finding yourself in a place of discomfort and being, you know, being disciplined for a lapse of judgment.
LeVar, put yourself, let's stay on the Washington Football Team. Put yourself in the shoes of the decision makers, whether it's the front office or Ron Rivera, the head coach. How do you navigate through this moving forward with Dwayne Haskins? Is he an afterthought in their eyes, or do you still believe he has a chance to salvage what might be left of his career in Washington?
Well, TJ, you and I both know when you paint, there's already been a picture painted of a lack of professionalism on his behalf. You know, there's been a lot of speculation about his work habits, his work ethic, what he brings to the table. We all have the ability to determine and dictate how we're viewed, whether it be true or not in the media, in those doors, you have the ability to dictate how you're viewed.
Perception is reality.
Yeah. And so for him, he hasn't gotten off to a good start. He lost his starting job. The team started doing well when Alex Smith started. He gets another opportunity due to an unfortunate injury to Alex Smith, and then to, you know, be irresponsible enough to do something that would put you in, you know, in the hot seat without even being on the football field. You got to believe he's not doing himself any services or any justices in terms of having an opportunity to continue to be on that team in particular, and possibly to get looks from other teams. It's a bad look.
Our guest is LeVar Arrington, the former NFL linebacker and current NFL analyst on FS1, and also he has a radio show called Up on Game Saturdays here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's switch, LeVar, to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was telling TJ on our podcast, the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast, for weeks. Yeah. Am I right, TJ?
You've been saying this since about week 6 or 7. The Steelers are the most overrated team you've ever seen. That's
right. I said they were the worst 11-0 team I had ever seen. They've now lost 3 games in a row. LeVar, what's wrong with that team? Can they get it back together before the playoffs start?
You know, it's hard to get it back at this point in the season. When you start losing this late, you know, if you pay attention to historically how seasons go, it's the teams that get hot late that end up running the table and making it deep into the playoffs. It's the teams that kind of tail off at the end of the season, cool off, that don't have as much success. So they would be creating a different trend if they were able to turn this around. So I don't feel like there's a very, very, you know, strong belief that they're trending in the right direction, can start trending in the right direction with this 3-game slide. So, and to lose to the Bengals, no offense, TJ, but to lose your third straight to the lowly Bengals, it begins to open up the conversation door of not overrated, but what is the issue? And when you start to pinpoint and narrow down what the issues are right now, it seems as though the focus is going towards the quarterback's position and how poor the play has been, and that being a possible reason as to why the team is suffering.
We got about a minute left. TJ, I think, has one more question.
Real quick, LeVar. So you bring up the performance of the quarterback. Let's talk about the performance, the pregame performance of Juju and the in-game performance of Juju. What do you make of that? What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it's just like the Dwayne Haskins situation. You got to be more professional in what it is that you're doing. You're not just bringing negative attention onto yourself by thinking you're being cute on TikTok, but you're making it more difficult on your team. You're giving instant bulletin board material right there in real time for people to play their hearts out. It's like you're making fun of us. Nobody wants to be made fun of. It's a pro game, and you raise the stakes so high that, you know, you're going to get people's best shots, even if you might have not have got it that day. So I think it's irresponsible on his part. I'm glad he said he's going to stop doing it, because it's more about focusing in on the game at hand, the task at hand, not being silly and doing it for the gram or doing it for TikTok.
All right, LeVar Arrington, of course, NFL analyst for FS1 and co-host of Up On Game with TJ Houshmandzadeh and Plaxico Burress, Saturdays 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on Fox Sports Radio. Merry Christmas, LeVar, to you and your family.
Merry Christmas, my guy.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Welcome in on a Christmas Eve. It is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker and TJ Houshmandzadeh. Of course, I'm on with the Chris Broussard on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And TJ Houshmandzadeh, the former All-Pro wide receiver, mostly with the Bengals and a couple other teams, but he also has a radio show here on Fox Sports Radio called Up On Game, Saturdays 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern, and TJ and I both have a podcast together called the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast, which you can subscribe and check out as well. Good morning, TJ. Hour number two here on the Dan Patrick Show.
Rocking and rolling, baby. Hour felt like 10 minutes that first hour.
It
when
was
you're having
real
fun, things go by fast, man. Yes.
It is
always
amazing.
A pleasure.
And we're going to have fun in the second hour. We're going to talk some NFL, some NBA. Ben Volen from the Boston Globe will join in. We'll talk some NBA with him. But let's start with the NFL. And a little tete-a-tete, is that what they call it? A little riff between Tony Dungy and Tom Brady. So Tony Dungy, of course, the former NFL coach, who's an NFL analyst now on NBC, he was on Shannon Sharpe's Club Shay Shay podcast this week and was asked to list the toughest quarterbacks he ever coached against. And Dungy, in making out his list, had Brady at number 6. And we do have sound for this.
I'm going to go by who was toughest on me. I'm never putting Tom Brady ahead of Peyton Manning. So the best he can be is 2. Because Peyton was my guy. So okay. The highest he could ever get is 2. Who gave me real problems? John Elway. You could do everything right. He's going to move around and make something happen and kill you. And he killed me enough. He was difficult. Steve Young was the same way. Those mobile quarterbacks. So that's who I put ahead of Tom. Aaron Rodgers, John Elway, Steve Young, guys who could move. Not to say Tom wasn't great. He is great. But that extra dimension meant something to me. So that's why I would only put him at 6.
There it is. And with that, shots fired, because Tom Brady got all worked up. Here's a guy, the most accomplished quarterback in the history of the National Football League, TJ. And Tom Brady fired back on Twitter with a picture of the Colts 2014 AFC finalist banner. The only problem is that Dungy had retired from coaching back in 2008. So he didn't coach that team that Brady was mocking. And here's further proof that these comments were without malice, because as coach of the Colts, Dungy was 3-3 against Brady, and in those games, Brady threw for an average of 222 yards per game, 62% completion, with 9 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So that's not that impressive, TJ. And what lies were Tony Dungy saying when he talked about the players that played tough against him?
That was Coach Dungy's opinion on who he felt gave his teams problems. And so Tom just probably looked at it and said, really? Like, is he really going to put these guys in front of me? Like, no. But what position did Coach Dungy play? And when he played, do you remember?
Yeah, he was a quarterback.
No, Tony Dungy.
Oh, no, I'm saying he was in college and he became a DB.
He was a DB, correct?
Right, he became a DB.
So
right.
Then what do DBs do? They backpedal. So right. Tony Dungy, he backpedaled a little bit. He went back to what he does best, being a DB. And he said, I don't know if you're aware of this. He puts a quote. This is actually old news. This is coming from Tony Dungy from several years ago. As I said then, there is no way to rank players from different eras as to who is better. It can't be done. It's all subjective. But if you're talking longevity and sustained excellence, no one has done it better than Tom. And so Tony Dungy is such a great human being that if he felt like Tom might be offended, let me put this back out here again, even though I've said this before. That's just his opinion. And I truly believe Tom took it that way. He just probably put that out there. And that's why he didn't put a banner up from when Tony Dungy was coaching. Tony Dungy is a great human being. Anytime something goes wrong in the league, they want him to speak upon it because that's just the type of reputation that he has. But if he felt like John Elway, Steve Young, Aaron Rodgers gave him problems, that's his right to feel that way because he knows quarterbacks that can buy time and not run, but buy time to throw the ball, they give any defense a problem. It's not right. Just Tony Dungy. And so that's his opinion. That's fine.
877-99 on Fox. I do want to throw out the numbers, see if we hear from anybody, because to me, this is a character flaw for Tom Brady. And you know I'm one of Tom Brady's staunchest critics, okay? And Tom Brady's a great quarterback. I don't believe he's the GOAT. I still believe Joe Montana is the GOAT. His resume is flawless, TJ. 4-0 in the Super Bowls, 11 touchdowns, no picks, 3 Super Bowl MVPs, 2 of the Super Bowls he had to throw touchdowns to win, including one against the Bengals. And he won 2 Super Bowls with Jerry Rice and 2 without Jerry Rice. I don't know what else you can do when you talk about a quarterback, but why would Tom Brady get all worked up over Tony Dungy and his opinion? Why? Because Tom is still trying to convince people that he's the greatest quarterback ever, that he is the GOAT. That's why he's wearing that ugly uniform in Tampa Bay. He's down there trying to convince people it wasn't Bill Belichick's system. It was about me.
And you
it's
don't agree with that?
Me.
You don't agree
no.
with huh?
I
No.
I don't agree. You know
no.
why?
No.
I don't. Because when they won those first 3 Super Bowls, go look, TJ. It was about defense, and it was about Adam Vinatieri, the best kicker in the NFL, in NFL history. And you can talk about Tom Brady in the last 3 where some things went the right way. Seattle should have won that Super Bowl. Atlanta's up 28-3 in field goal range to put them up by 11.
That wasn't defense. That, you talk about the defense this, the defense that. Let me just give you some numbers, and I'll let you figure out what they mean. 224-66, 55-69. Do you know what those mean? You know
what is that?
224-66 with 12 as his quarterback. That's Belichick. 55-69 without 12 as his quarterback. That's enough said right there. I mean, to me, that answers everything.
That doesn't answer everything.
Yes, it has to Brady is a 6th-round draft pick. When you're drafted that late, you always have that chip on your shoulder. You always feel like you have to prove yourself. And so
TJ,
Tom
in
Brady
their last 3
is
Super
always
going to
have that.
in their last three Super Bowl wins, the defense gave up no points in the fourth quarter.
Oh, my God.
Zero. Okay. Let me ask you this.
How many points did they give up in the first three quarters?
Wait a minute. When they beat the Rams.
That was a great defensive performance. Yes,
Tom Brady had no touchdowns and an interception and a fumble. What? Right? And they held the Rams, who had the fifth greatest offense in the history of the National Football League. Not that season. The fifth greatest offense, and they held them to 3 points, an 89-yard field goal. That's all they got in that Super Bowl.
And let's talk the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl. How many yards and points did the defense give up then? Like, we can't give the defense the credit when they do what they did against the Rams and then not give Brady the credit when he does what he did against the Falcons.
We
got to be
Brady,
fair both ways with it.
I am, but let's not forget – it was 28-3, and they held them after that point, the defense, to allow Tom Brady to be able to get back in the game. I'm not taking away what Tom Brady did at all. I'm just saying, and you know Adam Vinatieri, those first three Super Bowls, when they won the first Super Bowl after they got the tuck rule and they got the ball back when Brady fumbled, right?
Yes.
Tom Brady had one touchdown in the entire postseason that Super Bowl year. Do you know that? The first Super Bowl they won?
Yes.
He had one touchdown. So the story and the picture that people paint is that it's all about Brady, and all I'm saying, it's not all about Brady.
No, it's never. And I've been a critic of anyone that always gives the quarterback all the credit, because football is an ultimate team sport. You need 11 guys. When they're getting sacked, oh, the offensive line can't block. When guys don't catch the ball, when guys can't go, he needs better receivers. And then when you give a quarterback all these weapons, and I'm not just talking skill guys, I'm talking the guys, the offensive line as well, oh, all of a sudden the quarterback plays well. The quarterback takes way too much of the blame when things go bad, and they get way too much credit when things go well. It's the ultimate team sport. But if this is the way things are going to be, we have to give him his credit. And, oh, he didn't play great, but he made a great throw when it mattered. And so Tom Brady will always get his credit from me, because when you're a six-round pick, you have to be perfect just to get an opportunity in practice. You got to be perfect. People don't understand that.
No,
you don't have room.
I get that.
I was a late round. You don't have room for error in practice, because if you look bad in practice, they're going to go in that meet room and say, I don't know if this guy can play. I don't know if we can count on this guy. And so just from that perspective, he had to be on his A game all the time, not just in a game, in practice. And that says a lot, and people don't understand that, because they really don't want you to play. They want those guys they've drafted – higher than you, that they've invested more money in, to play ahead of you, and you have to really give them a reason not to, and that's by doing everything right leading up to Sunday.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, now let's welcome in Ben Volen from the Boston Globe. He is a Patriots beat writer and covers the team. Hey, Ben, welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you. And obviously, whenever Tom Brady's out there, there's going to be passion on both sides. And what did you make of the Tony Dungy podcast appearance on Shannon Sharpe's podcast, where he said that Brady was like the sixth toughest quarterback he faced? Tom Brady wasn't happy about it. He didn't say anything naming Dungy, but he put up like something on Twitter talking about the Colts and how they were a finalist in 2014. What do you make of this? And why is Tom Brady always pushing back when people aren't crowning him the GOAT?
I mean, I think he was having a little fun with it on social media. He posted the Colts 2014 AFC finalist banner, which has become a big joke here in the New England area, that a team would celebrate, you know, making the conference championship game. But, you know, you know, Dungy said this before about Tom Brady. He's always had him ranked a little bit lower than everyone else on his list. And I think what Dungy's talking about is when he was a coach and he had to face quarterbacks, he had a tougher time against the mobile quarterbacks, the Steve Youngs and John Elways. And Tom Brady's obviously not a mobile quarterback. And just, you know, for Dungy's standards, it was a little tougher defending those other guys. Now, Brady's had certainly a lot more success in the league, and I don't think anyone would argue that there's no more accomplished quarterback in NFL history than Tom Brady, and even Dungy would admit that. But, you know, Brady, I think, was just pushing back and having a little fun, and obviously his fans ate it up, and everyone was talking about it. So that was probably a good move by him social media-wise. But, you know, the Colts and the Patriots, they have this little rivalry. You know, Tony Dungy, Bill Polian, Bill Belichick.
Right.
There's not a lot of lost love there. So, you know, Brady's not just going to sit back and take it. He's going to poke the bear, too.
Ben, how are you, man? Merry Christmas. I'm going to just put you on the spot really quick. Where would you rank Mr. Tom Brady?
I mean, I put him number one. 6 Super Bowls, more than anyone else. 21st year of his career now. Still throwing for 4,000 yards at age, or about to at age 43. Just a level of consistency and dominance that the NFL has never seen. I understand Joe Montana was incredible, and John Elway dragged some really bad teams to the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning was great, but I don't know how you pick anyone other than Tom Brady as the best. And look, I'm the Boston Globe, so you know it's going to make me sound like a homer. Or
I'm not the Boston. I'm not the Boston
Homer,
Globe, and I agree with you,
Homer.
Ben. I agree with you, and I'm not the Boston Globe. I agree with you.
Well, Ben. And our guest is Ben Volen from the Boston Globe, who covers the Patriots. But here's my other thing. Okay, so everybody salivated over all the weapons that Tom Brady had down in Tampa, and oh my God, look at this! And then they go out and get Shady McCoy, and they go get
Fournette,
Leonard Fournette, and they get Gronk, and they get Antonio Brown, and Tom Brady doesn't even make the Pro Bowl, despite the numbers you were talking about. Why didn't Tom Brady make the Pro Bowl?
I arguably would have picked him over Kyler Murray as the other quarterback. To me, that was kind of the key decision. But, I mean, look, Brady's hasn't had an incredible season. It's been good. But, it's like that Eagles team from a decade ago when they call themselves the All-Star team or whatever. It's really hard to put a team together in free agency on the fly and have it all click, especially when you don't have an off-season program or a preseason. You just get dropped into the regular season, you know, and you have to start playing right away. And, you know, all those names you mentioned, like Rob Gronkowski's at the end of his career. Antonio Brown's been out of football for a year and a half. Shady McCoy's at the end of his career. Leonard Fournette was dumped by the Jaguars. So, you know, these are big names, but, you know, they still have a lot of talent, no question. Godwin and Evans and Antonio Brown is, I think, still has a lot of talent. So they have it there. But, you know, it's not easy to make it all click, in the first season. Like, that was always the thing about Brady with his receivers in New England. He needed time to gain trust with them and really work with them. Well, now he's got a whole new team of new receivers other than Gronk and Antonio Brown. And so he's just, you know, it hasn't fully clicked as well as everyone thought. But they're still right, you know, on the verge of making the playoffs and still can make some noise. So, you know, it certainly hasn't been a disaster of a season by any stretch, but, you know, it hasn't been this magical 14-2 run either.
It's been a good season, in my opinion. Let's get to Boston. Cam Newton experiment, he's admitted, it's been a little tougher than he thought. He hasn't played the way he would have liked to have played. What do the Patriots do moving forward at the quarterback position?
Yeah, it's kind of the million-dollar question, and it's easy to say go draft a kid, but I was looking at the league, and they're going to be up to, like, as many as 14 teams that want a quarterback this offseason. So there's going to be a lot of competition for the draft picks. I think there's a chance that Cam Newton comes back next year. Now, I don't think he's the answer, and I don't think the Patriots view him as the answer, but if they want a veteran quarterback to, you know, even if they do draft a rookie, if they want a veteran to kind of start the season as the starter, I think Cam is a decent shot for that. Belichick and Josh McDaniels have just been raving about Cam all year long, about his work ethic and how much he's bought in and how much they appreciate. You know, Belichick says Cam has worked hard as any player I've ever been around, and just on and on and on. And, you know, it hasn't been the easiest circumstance for Cam Newton either. No preseason, new team, new system, you know, and probably the worst weapons in the NFL, a tight end and receiver. So,
no question.
While it hasn't been a good season for him, you know, I think there are still some positives. They still, with the worst talent in the NFL, they still won 6 games. So I think there's a chance that Cam is back next year, but he's not the long-term answer. His arm strength is just, I don't want to say shot, but it's just not there. And, you know, his mechanics are still kind of, you know, all over the place, and his accuracy. So, you know, the passing game has not been good, and Cam has not been playing well. But, you know, as far as being a leader, I still think he could be back next year.
How about up in New England, just the talk about, you know, obviously the Patriots falling on some hard times, Brady's down in Tampa. What is talked about the most? Is it still about the Patriots, or is it about Tom Brady? Like what moves the needle up in New England now?
I mean, kind of both, to be honest. It's really been two home teams this year. You look at, like, the most read articles on our website, it's either a Patriots article or a Bucs article. Every time I write about Tom Brady, it shoots right to the top. So, you know, the fans up here have been fortunate. The Patriots and the Bucs have not really played many games at the same time this year. So the TV ratings are high for the Patriots games, and then they're high for the Bucs games. People just kind of plan their day around watching both teams. And now that the Patriots are out, I definitely, you know, you get a lot of fans that are rooting hard for Brady and they want to see him do it. And then I think you have some fans who are kind of hate watching it. They want to see him fail. They don't like the way he left the team. And, you know, they want to see him kind of crash and burn a little bit. So whether you love him or hate him, it's still very passionate about Tom Brady. And, you know, now that the Patriots are out of it, you know, they're certainly a lot less interesting. And all you can really talk about with them is draft positioning and what are we going to do at quarterback and next year and all that stuff. Whereas, you know, Brady is, there are still going to be a lot of eyeballs, you know, glued to their TV watching Tom Brady up here and waiting to see if he can make it all the way to the Super Bowl.
Well, moving forward, let's talk football, the playoffs, your prediction. Who comes out of the AFC and who do you believe comes out of the NFC?
Especially watching Buffalo a lot, you know, in that division.
Buffalo's hot, man. It's hard not to jump on the Buffalo bandwagon. They're a fun team, and they've just done everything right. I'm still sticking with Kansas City. I mean, how can you not? I mean, this team won 21 of their last 22 games, or might even be 22 of 23. They've got a good defense. They have the best offense in the world, the best quarterback in the world. Andy Reid's an unbelievable coach. That's a team that knows how to win. I think they're going to be the first team to repeat as Super Bowl champs since the Patriots in 2003-04. I just think the Chiefs, everything's kind of going their way this year. NFC is wide open. I don't love the Packers. I don't love the Saints. You know, my preseason pick was a Chiefs-Seahawks Super Bowl, so let's just stick with that. You know, Mahomes versus Russell Wilson. I think the NFC is kind of wide open. It's good competition this year. Even if Washington wins the 4 seed, that's not going to be an easy game for any team. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag in the NFC. It seems like a real toss-up. I'll stick with the Seahawks because I just think they have the best quarterback and a much improved defense.
They have the best quarterback? Really? You think he's the best quarterback
in the NFC right now? I mean, there aren't many other people I take over Russell. I mean, maybe Rodgers, but
Aaron Rodgers is having an MVP-type season. I mean, I know that Russell Wilson started off great, but let's just be honest. He's had 12 picks. He's played poorly for the most part during the second half. You wouldn't say that?
He hasn't played poorly. He's come back down to earth. I mean, no question. He's throwing more picks, and they're letting Russ cook, but he's burning the meal.
Yes, okay. That's
but fair. I still love Russell Wilson, and I think every other team out there is flawed. I mean, you look at the Packers. Who'd they play the other night? Carolina, where Aaron Rodgers and the offense, they did nothing in that second half. Could not put the Panthers away.
21-3.
I think they scored on their first three possessions and kind of took their foot off the gas. I agree that they could have done better. But, man, Ben, we appreciate you. So we'll write this down. Seattle and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But Ben Volen from the Boston Globe, man, we appreciate the knowledge. Thank you on the Dan
Patrick
Show.
Thank you, Ben.
Show,
Merry
bro.
Christmas, man.
Hey, all predictions guaranteed are your money back, okay?
Okay, we appreciate that.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
It is the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, on your Christmas Eve. Rob Parker, TJ Houshmandzadeh. Of course, I co-host a show with Chris Broussard called The Odd Couple, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Fox Sports Radio. TJ Houshmandzadeh, along with LeVar Arrington and Plaxico Burress, have a Saturday show, Up on Game, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And for those who don't know, TJ and I have a podcast called The Lemon Pepper, Parlay Podcast on the Extra Points Podcast Network. And you can subscribe and check that out as well, TJ. So much fun to do the Dan Patrick Show and fill in for Dan and the Danettes on this Christmas Eve.
Man, it's been fun. And these 2 hours, just like, where does the time go? And I it's when you're having fun, time flies. And that's what's going on. 2 hours that fast, and it seems like we just got started.
No doubt. And we got so much more to talk about. The NFL will not rest on Christmas. There's a game on Christmas Day, so we'll have that. But TJ, let's get into the Pittsburgh Steelers. And on our podcast, you know me, I'm willing to jump out there and say some stuff, be a little mashugana, as they might say, which is crazy in Yiddish, right? I'm mashugana. And when the Steelers were 11-0, did I not rant and rave to you that I thought they were the worst 11-0 team I'd ever seen?
When the Steelers were 6-0, 7-0, all you kept saying was the Steelers aren't very good, TJ. And I'm like, yes, they are, Rob. 8-0, the Steelers overrated. No, they're not, Rob. 9-0, you kept saying it. When they were 11-0, you're like, this is the worst 11-0 team I've ever seen. And I'm telling you, Rob, when you're undefeated, you're not a terrible team. And now that they've lost 3 in a row, you're like, what had I been telling you for the last 2 months? And so, yeah, you were on to something.
And, you know, I get it. You know, I always say sports has a short menu, TJ. Wins and losses. That's all that's on the menu, right? So you'll take a win by hook or crook or any way possible. But just let me give you some numbers on how bad things are. And they lost to your team, your former team, the Bengals. And it was ugly, okay? The Steelers were entered the game 14.5-point favorites. And with the loss, they matched their largest upset defeat since 1966. And after starting 11-0, they became just the third team to ever lose their next three games. So that doesn't happen that often in the history of the NFL. And for the first time in 20 seasons, including the postseason, the Steelers went 3 and out on their first 5 possessions, including 2 fumbles that led to 10 points for the Bengals. The Steelers have now scored fewer than 20 points, TJ, in 4 straight games. That's the worst under Big Ben since 2004. And I'm telling you, as poorly as Big Ben has played right now, I would take Uncle Ben over Big Ben as my quarterback. That's how bad it's been.
The Steelers have been bad, and it starts for them offensively. They're defensively, they've been fine. It's just, one, they're not able to run the ball. And so with them not being able to run the ball, they're going to have to pass the ball effectively. Oh, they lead the league in drops. And so when you're a team that can't run the ball and you lead the league in drops, what are you going to do? Ben hasn't been perfect, but his receivers have dropped balls. Ben needs to be better. You talk just the Bengals game. They couldn't run at all, and then those 3 turnovers turned into 17 points, the fumble snap and the 2 interceptions. And so the Steelers – are hurting, and they have to play a really good defensive team in the Colts. I mean, when you look at the Steelers just in rushing, James Conner is their leading rusher. He's 20th in the league with 663 yards. 20th. And this is the Pittsburgh Steelers. When you think Pittsburgh Steelers, you think Franco Harris, Jerome Bettis, pounding the ball. And so Le'Veon Bell, they're not able to run the ball effectively. And so if they can't run the ball, if they can't play action pass you, and they don't have that receiver where the safety is going to play over the top. They're going to cloud coverage them. They're going to double team. They don't have that type of receiver. So Ben really has to count on guys to get open and not know what the defense is going to do because they don't have an AB where you know they're going to double this guy. And so defenses can kind of play certain coverages and might confuse him or might just slow him down enough to where that pass rush can get there.
877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Definitely want to hear your take on the Steelers as well. Another issue that they have, Juju Smith-Schuster, the wide receiver who was dancing on the field before the game, and now he's pledged not to do it anymore. And TJ, is that a distraction that the Steelers need? You know, what do you make of Juju in this case?
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I don't mind the dancing. I mean, he's performing before the game.
It would be one thing if he was on Soul Train or something.
No, he just needs to perform during the game. That's the thing. If he was playing well, it wouldn't be a big deal. The dude is having fun before the game. And I get the other teams look at it as disrespect. I probably would too. But when you lose, it comes with the territory of the team not performing the way they expect to perform. And Juju, since AB left, has not been the same. Like, when you look at just receiving in the league, Juju is 44th.
Here's a number that's unbelievable. He has not had 100 yards receiving since AB left. And think about this. They throw all the time now, right? They don't, because they can't run the ball. So they're throwing the ball. It's not like they're not throwing it.
I mean, when you look at the Steelers, in essence, he's their number three receiver because Deontay Johnson, he has the most catches. He has 77. And then Chase Claypool, Juju has the most catches. Deontay Thompson, Johnson has the most yards. And then Claypool has the second most yards. Then Juju, he in essence is the number three receiver. And that's the problem because he's not – playing the way people expect him to play, considering how he played when he had that 1,400-yard season. That's the thing. It's before the game starts. He's having fun. The game hasn't started. You can do what you want to do. But what has happened is they've lost three in a row, and he's worried about other things. No, the dude is actually worried about the game. They're just losing. And so people want to point a finger at what's the reason why. This is the reason why. That's not the reason why they're losing, but they're getting tired of answering the question now, is Juju's TikToks the reason we're losing? No, because when he was TikToking in weeks 1 through 11, was it a problem? Absolutely not. It wasn't a problem. It's the last three games. It's a problem. Why? Because they're 0-3.
No, I get it. And when you lose, people look for reasons why. And also, when your coach has to answer for it and your teammates have to answer for your antics, that's when definitely it's a problem. So my question, as we go forward with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because what's unbelievable, TJ, at 11-0, nobody was like, oh, yeah, the Steelers are going to the Super Bowl, they're going to beat the Chiefs. Nobody took them seriously as far as, like, making some sort of big playoff run. So my question is, are the Steelers baloney or filet? Are you buying? Can they get this turned around the last 2 weeks, get this righted, and make a run in the playoffs, TJ? Can they do that?
Can they right the ship? I'm going to be short and to the point. No. They play the Colts and the Cleveland Browns. Those two teams can really play. And that's
so they could lose those two games, right?
Very, very realistic.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.